You are listening to The Mauer Report, a live radio show that ventures into the mysteries of life, as well as the hot topics of the day, either political or business. Hey, everybody. I just want to welcome everybody. I'm excited. I want to jump on and get the stove started here. MLK author asks, why are there two alien emojis in the duck pond chat? And there's a really simple answer. One is green and one is gray. Really simple answer. Why? Because I couldn't decide which one I thought was more realistic. Which one was true? Which one was accurate? It's a deep question. We're not talking aliens tonight, but it does beg the question, if you've never been on the duck pond, you really need to be, because there are some fascinating conversations. And that, well, that's just the tip of the iceberg. I can promise you. I absolutely love it there. Actually, our guest popped by there, too. He's got a little technical difficulty going on right now, so we're going to give him a couple minutes here. But we'll get to him, because he's got a pile of stuff to talk about. Literally. It's going to be a bad pun after a bit. Yeah, we'll see what happens here. So I hope everybody's well this evening. I just, you know, wanted to take a few minutes, because I normally don't take a few minutes to do these kind of things, so I figured since Rob's running a few minutes late, we'll just roll with this for a minute. First things first, if you enjoy this program, and I've talked to a number of you outside of the duck pond, emails, direct messages via Twitter, Facebook, I almost said Google Plus, good grief. That was almost bad. That was a throwback to, well, but there was people that really loved Google Plus back in the day. Forums, any other social media site. They really love this show, right? Take a few minutes, leave a review somewhere. Or, I see, I'm not going to bang on reviews, because I'll tell you what's more important to me. Now, people out there will help. It helps you get reaching people in search, da-da-da-da-da. That's all well and good, and I get it. And for those algorithms and all of that fancy stuff, that's great for them. But you know what really matters to me? Take 5 minutes out of your day and say, you know, I have a friend who would really like this program, the specific program, not the program in general. I mean, we've talked to a number of people. I can't tell you how many NASCAR people I've sent Ward Burton to, or Bob Levine, or MMM people I've sent Pat Miljack, and down the list, right? You just go back over, and if there's a category, there's a show for that person. That's the best way to introduce the program to these people. Because the show doesn't fall within traditional guidelines and boundaries. And it makes it very difficult to market. It just does. That's okay, though. Because it's not about marketing or success with a traditional metric. Success is how you measure it, right? And, wow, let me tell you. I've been blessed to do the show. So, there's all that. Some of the wildest things that I'll, you know, New York Times bestselling authors, I've lost count. I think it was over 10 and I just stopped counting. Right? You just do that. 500 and probably 20 shows now. That's what it is. Right? Kind of, the next number that'll matter will be 1,000. And that's a ways away, so thank God for that, right? So you can do all the usual things that show has asked you to do. I know all of you out there who are listening to this podcast listen to other podcasts. You know how they all sit around and promote everything in the world and want you to run to this podcasting app and do that and this and the other. I prefer you just take a few minutes and share a direct show with a friend with a little note. Say hello to them. I know 2020, and here we are, 2021, has been a rough years, almost two now, for a lot of people. A lot of disconnection, a lot of new connection with different people. But there's a lot of people hanging out that could use a friend, or a friendly voice on the radio, or the speaker, or the car, or whatever it may be. So we're going to give them that. That's what we're here for. Yeah. So I hope everybody's well. I know I'm hanging out and looking good. I'm not looking good. I just looked at myself in the video feed. I am not looking good. I'm looking like a wreck, actually. And let's see here. See if this works this time. Maybe. Maybe not. We'll find out here in a minute. Maybe. Always fun. Fully always expect technical problems to happen. Always. Always something. That's okay. You know why it's okay? Because Skype loves me and it just closed itself. Oh, yeah. Now that's the beauty of this. So, we'll get there. Sorry for the dead air. I know that's probably the capital sin of all radio, but you got to listen to me type, which is even more exciting, I can promise you, I'm sure. Way more exciting. So, there's all that stuff, right? Now, let's do this, too. This is probably really exciting for me, because I haven't really worked on this in a while, and I need to. TheMalwareReport.com. Come over and sign up for the newsletter. Hold me accountable for that thing. You know why? Because somebody needs to. I've been collecting email addresses for a long time and not putting out enough content. So, hold me accountable for the thing. So come over and sign up because, like I said, somebody has to. If it's not going to be me, you need to. Okay. Excuse me for a second. Got to get myself a drink. For those watching on the YouTube and other places, not drinking Kool-Aid tonight. Drinking lemonade. There's a joke in there somewhere. There was ice in there, but it's all gone. That's even better. Here he is. We've killed enough trees to make the show work tonight. Rob, how are you doing?
Hi, Jim. I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm doing great. So Rob Guttrow, it's been a while since you've been on, and I had to do the digging because I wanted to know how long it's been. Because, you know, I tell people, and I probably told you this, oh, Rob, I loved having you on. I'll have you back on, right? And then years went by, and Rob's yes. like, that idiot's never going to have me back on. And then I went, how long has it been since Rob's been on? So I looked it up, February of 2014. Now, for those playing along
at home... February 25th, yeah.
For those playing along at home, that was 388 weeks ago, or 382 shows ago. Man, that makes me feel old in a big way. But, Rob, I'm glad you're back.
Well, thanks for having me back. It's good to be back.
And then there's the other part of me that's fascinated, because I don't know how many... I want to know how many shows have started and stopped in that time. That'd be even better to know. But anyways... So, Rob, so I noticed that you've wrote a pile of books since the last time we talked.
Yeah, I've been quite busy. So, the last time we talked, I had written 3 books, and now I am I published 8.
Yeah, so you've been significantly busy, which is good for me, because that gives us a lot to talk about. Because I picked the first book, the Pets in the Afterlife, was the book we were talking about, and now you have the third one out, so... Help me fill some pieces in here, Rob.
Sure. Yeah. That's right. I published Pets in the Afterlife 2 and just recently this year, Pets in the Afterlife 3. And I have to tell you, Jim, I'm actually really, really astounded and happy that the word is getting out there to grieving pet parents, because Book Authority just ranked this one of the 16 best books dealing with grief, either with people or with pets. And I was kind of astounded by that and humbled. And it also debuted at number one on Amazon in pet grief. So that's pretty cool. And since we last talked 7 years ago, I started doing pet readings, pet spirit readings, and I do them all by email, do them on the weekends, and I have heard from people all over the world, you know, Turkey, Chile, Canada, Mexico, Ireland, England, Germany, doesn't matter where it is, but I've done pet readings for people all over the world, so that's been pretty cool.
Yeah. So, as I say, so let's go here for a minute though. I'm going to ask you a loaded question. I don't mean to go here so hard so fast, but what's the strangest animal that you've connected with? Because I know it's going to come up. Because I'm assuming we got plenty of cats and dogs.
Sure, lots of cats and dogs. Well, you know, there's been gerbils and ferrets and rats, horses and birds. Those are kind of rabbits and a fish. Not that a fish can say much, but it can tell you what it observed. So that runs the gamut right there.
You said fish, and I just thinking to myself, probably doesn't have a big story to tell.
A fish story?
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, you know, there's, yeah, I'm glad you caught that, because I was trying to figure out how I was going to explain that bad joke if I couldn't, you know, if you didn't catch it.
Yeah. That's right. I'm the king of bad jokes. I love it. Yeah, so those are pretty much the unusual animals. But any domesticated animal really is one that a medium can get messages from. So I wrote these books, all three books, Pets in the Afterlife 1, 2, and 3, so that I teach people how to look for messages on their own so they don't need a medium. These books are filled with stories like from readings that I've done where the pet parent has provided confirmations of everything, or there are also some stories in there from people that I've met who shared stories and experiences they've had. So there's a lot to digest in there.
Yes. Yeah, so let's go back. I'm sure we probably talked about this years ago, but it's been a few minutes. I fail. What got you interested in the pet side of this all to start with?
Since I was a teenager, I've known about the ability that I've had to talk to people who passed, and it really didn't develop until my puppy passed in 2005, and he started becoming a really amazing communicator. So he kind of opened the doors for me with that, and he enabled me to communicate with other pets as well. He also inspired me to write my first book.
So, I feel like I'm jumping all over the place, because maybe I am. But we're talking about pets that have passed. Do you communicate with living pets?
No, I don't communicate with living pets. That's actually a different gift. So those are animal communicators. So anybody that's looking for help to correct behaviors in your dog or your cat, you need to call an animal communicator. So mediums only communicate with people or pets who passed.
And somewhere in my mind, Rob, I did know that, but like I said, it's just, I feel like I'm all over the place. So give me some basic tips for people that want to communicate with their deceased pet. Because like I said, you wrote the books about it, but I don't want to give everything away, obviously, because that would not benefit either of us, but...
Sure. Well, there's a lot of things there's a lot of ways that you can get messages from your pets. And so I'll just give you kind of a quick little checklist. First of all, dreams are the easiest way for any spirit to come through, because our logical minds are asleep at that time. And it's our logical minds that actually dispel any kind of images or messages. So aside from dreams, you may see them out of the corner of your eye as a shadow, quick moving shadow. You may hear them, whether a collar jingle or a bark or meow or something, always sounds like It's coming from another room. They may lead you to a pet that looks like them. You may actually smell them, or smell something related to them. One woman actually reported smelling the smell of a wet dog even 6 months after her dog had passed, and her dog used to love to go into the lake and come in and shake. So she knew he was still there. Another woman I talked to said that her dog went out in the backyard and passed away quietly under a rose bush. And whenever she thinks of him, she smells the scent of roses. And that's his sign that he's still around. So it's things like that. Other people have found paw prints on their bath mat long after their pet had passed. And after the bath mat was washed and so forth. There's just a variety of ways. One dog even used social media with the help of a spirit on the other side. As crazy as that sounds.
Sounds intriguing, but yes, I've been doing this long enough to know that everything's possible. I don't want to say anything's possible. Everything's possible.
Yeah, my major rule is that when it comes to spirit, there's no such thing as a coincidence, because people and pets on the other side enable us to do things, or enable things to happen, rather. That we would basically call a coincidence, but there really is no such thing as a coincidence. So it's a good lesson.
So Kim in the chat room there asked, do dogs, I'll broaden it back to, do pets reincarnate?
Yes, they absolutely do. We all do. So here's what I've learned, Jim, that's really interesting, because I got a lot of questions about pets and reincarnation. They don't reincarnate and come back to us in this lifetime. What happens is they wait for us on the other side. However, sometimes people have said that they have adopted another dog or another cat, and that dog or cat has shown similar personality traits or habits that their dog or cat did when they were alive. And so what I've learned is that our dogs and cats come back in spirit, and they train the new dog or cat to do similar things that they did in their life, so that we would recognize that they are there in spirit with their new animal.
That makes sense. It's just fascinating to think about. And you almost left me speechless for that, Rob, which isn't the best thing for either of us.
Yeah, well, so everybody should know that our pets really are going to be waiting for us on the other side. And you know, Jim, I actually visibly saw that happen when my dad passed away in 2008. After his services and everything, he hung around for his services, and at the cemetery, the services at the cemetery there, I saw the light open to the other side. I've never seen it before. That was my first time. And it was weird because it was an overcast New England day when he was being interred, and I saw the light, and I said to my sister-in-law, that sun is awfully bright for the cloud cover that we have. And she said, there's no sun over there. And I looked again, and sure enough, there was a light. And in the light were relatives, human relatives, but the two dogs that I had growing up were there, and my puppy in the light. So they were all waiting for my dad. That was pretty unnerving to watch that. Yeah.
It has to be – makes me – I don't want to say uneasy, but I can't put on – better word on it at this moment, to watch, to be there.
Well, I would tell you this too, that a lot of people will say that they don't want to be without their dog on the other side, and I wanted to assure you that you will be. When my mother passed in 2013, she she had a stroke, and she was in a coma for about almost 5 days. When I went to the hospital, she was in another state. It took a couple of days to drive up there with our four dogs. So when I got up there, my dad, who had passed 5 years before, walked into the room in spirit, and as a medium, you can see these things sometimes. And my dad was holding one of our family dogs, a poodle, that was my mother's favorite. My mother used to say that her favorite child was Gigi, her dog, her poodle, even though there was myself and my two brothers. But she would always say the dog was her favorite child. So anyway, I had gone over to my mother's bedside, and I told her, I said, Dad is here, and I said, he's got Gigi, and they're waiting for you on the other side. And Jim, five hours later, my mother crossed over. She was waiting to hear that her dog was on the other side. Not necessarily my father, but her dog.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Okay, so Rob, so let's do this real quick before I totally blow this, because there's so many things running through my head, so we got to make sure we do this for you. Where can people find you, the books, any of that fun stuff?
Well, all the books are on Amazon, Amazon.com. All they have to do is type in GUTRO, and my website they can get to a shorter website is petspirits.com or robgutrow.com. That's a shorter version. All the books are available in ebook and paperback, and because I'm a self-published author, they're all under $10. So I make them nice and affordable for everybody, so that you can see how the other side works. And I have some really cool stories in there too from a couple of my other books, like Ghost of England on a Medium's Vacation, Paranormal Cases of Inspired Ghost Tracking, which is the group that I belong to, and Kindred Spirits, which is one of my favorites, How When a Medium Befriends a Spirit. So all different topics in the paranormal based on my experiences, and I've had a lot of experiences, especially in the last 7 years, Jim, since I haven't talked to you.
Yeah. I finally got the seven-year itch. It happens. So Germantown Runner asked this question. It seems legitimate at this point to ask about on-site paranormal investigations, and have you done any since life is starting to return to normal? Because you mentioned being part of and it just left my mind, that group that you just mentioned a minute and a half ago.
Yeah, the Inspired Ghost Tracking group. Yeah. So just, I think, well, we physically did one because it was in it involved a haunting in a backyard. And it was actually the ghost of a Native American who was lingering in a backyard that kept pounding on the back of the house in this neighborhood, and we had to go there and figure out what was going on. The other one we did was virtual. It was remote. So mediums, because they can tune into energy, and ghosts and spirits are energy beings, so once we, you know, once we're talking to somebody that's in the location where a ghost is located, we can tune in to them. That's how it works. So that's what we did. We wound up doing we wound up crossing a ghost over remotely, talking to someone on the phone in that place that was haunted. It's quite fascinating. It was an interesting story too, because there was a young girl in the family that was being actually harassed by a ghost, and it turned out to be the ghost of a little girl who was trying to get her attention and get her to play with her and so forth, and wouldn't leave her alone. But we managed to cross her over from remotely. Again,
I was sitting here thinking that sounds, you know, far-fetched, and I'm thinking, well, you get – actually, talk about this for a second too. Double question here. You get pictures of pets. I mean, so that's one snapshot of things, let alone being, I don't want to say interactive, but being in the environment at a deeper level being there live on the phone.
Yes. Yeah. So you're right. So the way I do my readings is what I do is I ask people to. So first of all, I only charge $10 for my readings right now on, and I do them by email. Do them on the weekends. I ask people to send me their pet's name, a photograph of their pet, and any questions they may have, and don't tell me anything else. Just ask me questions, and then I will connect to the pet looking at their picture. And the readings that I do, by the way, are not just two sentences. these animals are very intelligent, and they have a lot to say. So what they do is they convey things that they have seen in their life from their home, or convey things they've heard because they understand words. In my books, I outline all of the ways that they learn. So there's instinctual learning, there's language learning, there's emotional learning, there's a learning of play, there's learning of routine. There's so many different levels that pets learn on. So they are more capable of communicating with me in those different areas. So people will get like a page maybe of different messages and things like that, like who they're with on the other side or what their favorite toy was or something that stayed with them, some kind of incident that stayed with them. They'll share their pain of death, how they felt before they passed. It's amazing what they can convey.
Yeah, I'm blown away, Rob. It's just interesting to think about all of this. I mean, because I don't know. Just a weird place. Well, weird place tonight, but that's okay. So the Germantown. I'm gonna paraphrase Germantown Reuters' question so he can yell at me, because he will. He loves me. He loves when I do this to his questions.
Okay.
The world's in a great period of turmoil with COVID and just all the political stuff. So are people turning more to spiritualism, or you know what I'm saying, trying to connect to lost loved ones, or are we at a point of decline? You probably know what I'm.
I do understand what you're getting at, Jim. Yeah. I think that I think there is actually a deeper appreciation for what mediums do and trying to connect to people on the other side. The other part of this pandemic is that so many people have lost their lives to COVID. It's like, what, 610,000 now in the U.S. alone? Think of how many families that affects. So all of these people connected to their lost loved ones are looking for a way to connect, to reconnect with them. And most of them died alone, at least physically. So I'm glad you brought that up, because I've gotten a number of emails about people who have lost people to COVID, including myself. I've lost a couple of friends who were seniors and very, very close to me that passed from COVID when the pandemic started. And I want you all to know that when we pass, our loved ones in spirit will come there to be there for us, to help cross us over. Just like my dad and the dog showed up for my mom, as we just talked about a couple minutes ago. So even though they were there physically alone and you couldn't be in the room with them, they really weren't alone, because there were people in spirit waiting for them. So take comfort in that.
Yeah, as I say, as you were talking about that, because I was wondering, because people were home so much, if the level of activity in their houses would pick up. Because normally, you know, wintertime, there'd always be a spike when people would call the paranormal teams because they were home more, and there was just more noises in their houses that settled, and furnaces, and, you know, noises they weren't quote-unquote used to, even though they should be.
Yeah, that's true. People tend to get a little paranoid, and that's interesting that you mentioned that too. Because on the team I belong to, Inspired Ghost Tracking, we have an architect, who happens to be my husband. And we go through houses when people report different noises and so forth, and we're able to debunk them because he knows how houses settle and what kind of noises come out of them in different places. So it's really helpful to have an architect or, you know, an engineer on your paranormal team when you're going through a house.
Yeah, that would make a striking difference. I was trying to figure out a funny engineering word, and I couldn't do it quick enough.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is Tuesday.
I mean, an electrician, I've got chalking and all kinds of fun things for electricians, but
you know. All right, I'll try and set you up a little later on, okay?
No, so okay. So I've got another. I'm going to shift gears hard here for a second because I've got a question about this. Because anytime I have authors on, I love picking through their brain because anybody who knows me knows that I write tweets, and that's about the extent of it. And so anybody that puts the energy in, you said you have 8 books out now?
I do. Yes.
So you must write daily then?
I tend to work on stuff probably every night or every other night. So the thing is when you're a medium, things are always happening. So I'll give you an example. Just yesterday, my younger brother sent me and my husband a package that he was on vacation. He was down Cape Cod, so he sent us 2 T-shirts in a box. Now, the box arrived yesterday. I opened it up. I took out the T-shirts, and out of the box fell a shiny penny. And I thought, that's really odd. Why would he put a penny in there? So I looked at the penny, and it was dated to 2013. That was the year that my mother passed away. So I sent him a text message, and I said, did you put a penny in the box with the T-shirts dated 2013? And he said, no, I didn't put any penny in the box. Where the heck did that come from? And I said, well, I believe that then it came from Mom because I opened the boxes on the anniversary date that my father passed away. So she was letting me know that they are together on the other side. So when people find coins, look at the year because it has some kind of significance to whomever is trying to give you a message to let you know that they're around.
You know, I've said this before, and this is totally tongue-in-cheek and a joke. Everybody calm down. It's funny. I've heard of pennies from heaven for years, and you just told a great story about them. But why can't it be $100 bills?
Oh, you know, that's what my husband says. He says, how come my grandmother never left me $20 bills? And I said, because... because they're harder to find on the ground, you know. So spirits will apport or move things from one place to another, and they really have to look for these things. And imagine how difficult it is to find a coin with the appropriate year relative to their birth or their passing or their wedding anniversary or something else. And relative to that, in my book, Kindred Spirits, how a medium befriended a spirit. That's about how I got to know this one spirit named Ed, who has kept coming to me for the last 15 years, and he loves coins. Now, Ed passed in 1996, and I have to tell you, Jim, I have never seen so many coins dated 1996 in my life on the ground in front of me since Ed started coming toward me, to me. So, 1996 was a long time ago.
Yeah, as I say, I mean, that'd be a lot harder to find the penny from then than more recent years.
Yeah, absolutely. So he likes using coins. That's his forte. But other spirits will, you know, use feathers or they'll manipulate anything in nature, like birds or butterflies or dragonflies, to behave erratically. It doesn't mean that every time you see a bird or a butterfly, it's a sign from a spirit. That's just ridiculous. There has to be some kind of tie. And what I mean by that is that Number one, it has to be close to a birthday, anniversary, or holiday related to the person on the other side or the pet on the other side. Number two, the animal has to behave or insect has to behave erratically in a way that they normally don't. And that's how you know that it is a sign. So in my Pets in the Afterlife books, my dog Sprite, who was a dachshund mix, he sent us a yellow and black butterfly the day after he passed. And what was odd, it was July 8th when he passed in 2013. And we had not seen a butterfly the whole summer, despite useless butterfly bushes that we planted. But that butterfly showed up the day after he passed, and it lingered for about 20 minutes, and it close to the ground, and it flew the same way that Sprite used to walk between the other dogs, and none of the other dogs went after that butterfly. That's weird. We have dachshunds, and we had a Weimaraner, and they would always chase everything, but they didn't. So we knew it was from Sprite. And a couple of years later, I was driving to work, and I wasn't thinking of Sprite. I wasn't thinking of anything. I wasn't even thinking of what date it was. But a yellow and black butterfly flew right up to my windshield and then flew off, just enough for me to make sure that I could see it. And then I realized it was July 8th. It was the anniversary of his passing. And I thought, that is not a coincidence.
That is not. You said earlier there's no coincidences, and I've always believed that everything is there for a reason. Now, why becomes a bigger question than why it was there. But
yes, yeah. So I think the why is that it's because people on the other side are trying to get messages to us, and they're trying to let us know that they're there to help guide us and so forth when we need it. We are definitely not alone. And although, you know, people will say, well, why did I get in that car accident? Well, then I'll say, well, you walked away from it. You know, if somebody wasn't sitting with you, then you wouldn't have walked away from it. And they say, well, you know, then I hear the other side. Well, why did this person not walk away from it? Well, it was their time. Everybody has a plan before we come to Earth. What I've learned by talking to people who are on the other side is that we all know what we're going to go through in this life, and we accept it because we need to go through it in order to grow and get to the next stage of the afterlife. Some say there are like three levels of the afterlife. Some say there are seven. Depends on who you talk to and what culture you're talking about. But ultimately, we all accept our life here, and we know what's going to happen. And then we forget it when we get here. And then we're left wondering,
Just like everything else.
Yeah, why in the world would I do that? But it's true.
So actually, this is kind of going to piggyback off what you just said, though. If a pet dies dramatically, like in an accident or in a war, or is there a sense of urgency on the pet's behalf to make contact with their humans?
There is. Yes, absolutely. And that's exactly what happened to me, because Buzz was my puppy Buzz, at 7 months old, was killed by a car when his leash opened. He ran out in the street. And as soon as I got home with his body, he started giving me signs. And pets will do that. But here's the thing, is that for people who are not mediums, when you experience grief acts like a major block to any signs. Some people are so immersed in their grief, they don't even know what day it is. So our pets are trying to get through to us from the other side, but they can't get through. So often they have to either resort to dreams, or grief even blocks dreams, or they'll come to somebody else. And I'll give you a case in point here. I got an email from a woman who wrote me, and she said that her dog had passed away, and it's been 3 months, and she said she's not been able to get a dream of her dog ever since, and she was really, really upset. She wanted to know if her dog was okay. And then she wrote on the bottom of the email, "By the way, my husband has been able to dream about my dog while I have not." And she said, "I'm really mad at him because my dog is coming to his dreams." And so I wrote it back and I said, "Well, number one, your dog doesn't want you to be mad at your husband. Number two, your dog is only going to your husband because you are still in a much deeper stage of grief than he is. He has accepted your dog's passing." I said, "So your dog is able to come through to him." I said, "So please don't be mad at your husband. Instead, be thankful that he was able to convey this message to you." So, I didn't know I'd be doing marital counseling from the medium chair.
Now, as I say, I think that comes from any chair, right? At different points throughout the course of...
Yeah, you're right. And that leads me to another point when people lose their pets, and that is, please don't let the grief overcome you. Our pets in spirit do not want you to be suffering and miserable that they have passed. They want you to celebrate their life and their time with you. So do something either in memory of them, either adopt another one and save another life and give them the love that you gave your other pet. That would be a great way to memorialize them. The other thing too, Jim, that I found is I've had several people write me and tell me they're suicidal after their pet passed. And that's kind of scary to me. Again, because I'm not a therapist. They write to me and they want messages from their pet, and some of them have also told me that they're ready to join their pet, and that's not what your pet wants. So, for anybody out there who is feeling those tendencies, please call the suicide prevention hotline and talk to a professional. Because our pets want us to lead good lives and continue to help other pets in this life.
That's just remarkable to think that. I mean, I get there's a strong connection between some people and their pets, but wow. I mean, Rod, you're doing it again. You're leaving me speechless, which isn't good.
Yeah. Well, all of these people that I talk to from all walks of life always have something to really bring to the table that I wasn't aware of before. So, just know that even if you know somebody who is single and has a pet and their pet passed away, just know that they are treating the loss of that pet likely like the loss of a child. Really, because – so what I've learned by reading some psychological studies too, Jim, is that – first of all, I'm a scientist. I'm a meteorologist in my daytime job. So I geek out and I read all these science journals and so forth. But I read a psychological study that said that we tend to grieve more deeply for our pets than we do for people. And the reason for that is that we bring them up like children. You know, we take them to school. They learn our language. We potty train them. We take them to the doctor. We feed them on a routine basis and so forth. We teach them to play well with others, just like we do with human children. It's just that human children grow up and then they leave you and marry someone you don't like and they move on. And pets stay with you and they don't talk back.
Well, most of the time.
Yeah. So it's harder for a person to lose a pet because despite the fact that the pet ages physically, they're always still mentally somewhere between a 3 and 5 year old child. That's according to Dr. Stanley Coren. So that's why we grieve more deeply for a pet, typically. I mean, I'm sure there's some relatives that you may have, or anybody listening may have, that you certainly wouldn't grieve very deeply for, right?
Now, Rob, I can't answer that on the air.
Oh, that's right. I don't want to get you in trouble. But it is true that we do grieve very, very deeply for our pets. So it's perfectly normal. Just know that. But they're always trying to get messages through to us.
So the current tagline of the show is conversational yet controversial. So I want to go controversial with you for just a second, because we have to. We just have to, this is the important question of the show. Which are easier to communicate with, cats or dogs?
Actually, you know, both cats and dogs have been very receptive to communicating, and both can go on and on and on about a lot of different things. So I really don't find much difference. What I do find, though, is difference in personality. And cats tend to be more more either laid back and a little more shy than dogs. Dogs tend to be more forward and assertive when it comes to giving messages. So I really think it depends on the personality of the pet. That's basically what it comes down to.
Now, Rob, you know that wasn't the answer I was going for, right?
I know you wanted some controversy.
And Rob says it's best to have fish. Okay. Now,
there you go. Yeah. I have talked to horses, though, you know, and they're very intelligent animals, and they also convey a lot. The one thing that's interesting is that animals actually read our emotions. So, Jim, I can't remember. Do you have any dogs or cats?
I have a dog floating around here somewhere.
Okay. So dogs in their lifetime, dogs read our emotions. You know, they know when we're happy, when we're sad, when we're angry. Certainly, they go into another room. They know when we're sick. They know when we need attention. And it's the same thing on the other side. So pets behave the same way in spirit that they do in the physical.
That's interesting to think about. But I hadn't thought about them, how they react to your emotions, because they know sometimes when to hide because that, you know, you're mad at them. Even though, you know, you may have said it, but at least they picked up on it and got out of dodge versus when you want them to be around. It's...
Yes. Yep. Oh, I see a question in the chat for me, huh?
Yeah, go ahead. Have you done any work with any well-known, I'll put that in parentheses for you, clients such as the political sports entertainers or anybody that, well, or I guess they'd be their pets, so any famous pets even?
The answer is no. Nobody – I'm still flying under the radar after 10 years. So no. There's so many other well-known mediums out there. You know, like I said, Jim, I'm a self-published guy, and I've been doing this for 10 years, actually 11 years, and I'm my own marketing kind of guy. So one thing I do, though, is a couple of years ago, I started going to animal rescues up and down the East Coast, and I would like to branch out to other animal rescues anywhere if anybody knows any animal rescues that want to do a fundraiser. And I do my lecture. I give a 45-minute lecture about how pets communicate from the other side, and I teach people how they do that based on my books. And share a lot of experiences. So I don't charge them anything, and they charge like $20, and they keep all the money and they use it for their rescue, you know, the kennels and the food and all that stuff. So the reason I do that is that it's my way to get a lot of comfort to people out who need it, and also to benefit animal rescues because they do such great work.
Yeah, it's a great thing to get out there and make that connection with people because, like we were talking a little bit ago, it's desperately needed in the world right now of just positivity or I don't want to say positivity, but that reinforcement of good things that have happened. So.
Yeah, there's not enough positive things in the world, really. So, but you know, the reason I wrote these books is to help comfort people and give people an understanding that they're just because their pet's physical life is over, it doesn't mean that their life is over. It means that they are on the other side as energy, as spirit, and they're waiting for us. And you can recognize the signs a lot. Just look around birthdays, anniversaries, and holidays. Those are the main days that you should look for. And it's not necessarily exactly on that day. It could be within like 2 weeks either side. So.
And just keep, as I've learned a long time ago, just keep your eyes open and don't think about it. Just notice things and then be like, well, why? I find myself asking a lot more questions than I ever do getting answers for things, but. That's just true of anything I do. That's probably why I still ask some questions on this show. Why did it take 7 years to get Rob back on? Well, who knows?
Well, you know, I'd like to come back and talk about the my experiences in England, the Ghosts of England, because that is both a history book and a book of my experiences with ghosts, and actually that's been a bestseller on Amazon. Under books on England, so that's pretty cool. But one of the other things I wanted to throw in here is that sometimes I get emails from pet parents who don't know how their pet passed, and I have to connect to their pet and try to figure it out. So in one particular instance, and I think this is in my Pets in the Afterlife 2 book, a puppy named Clancy, who was a Cocker Spaniel, had passed. And his mom didn't know what happened. She was actually out for the evening, and her husband was watching the dog. And it was a typical night, nothing out of the ordinary with the dog. And he called her and had her come right back and said the dog wasn't feeling well. You need to come home. She did. She called the emergency vet. They said you could either bring him in or watch him. She opted to watch him, and in 2 hours he passed away. And she didn't know what had happened. All she wanted to know was an answer. So she sent me this dog's picture. His name is Clancy. I'll never forget him. Asked me what happened. So the dog made me feel an upset stomach. And then he showed me that he was eating plants in the backyard. And he said, this is what happened. And he said, please tell my mom to tell others about this. So I wrote to her and I told her this. And I said, there are toxic plants in your backyard, according to him. And I sent her a list from the ASPCA, and she confirmed several toxic plants that she did not know were toxic to animals that were in her backyard. And she said – she also confirmed that he liked to eat plants, and that's what happened to him. So pets can actually solve the mystery of their passings from the other side. And in my Pets in the Afterlife 3 book, a woman named Ginny wrote me about her 4 Westies, and she said they all died – without confirmation of what made them pass. So she sent me a picture of all 4 Westies, and I get in touch with every single one of them, and I was able to give her how each one of them passed, and she confirmed everything, and she knew exactly what I was saying from each one, which blew me away too, because you know, I'm just a guy who can talk to dead people. But
so speaking of, side note for producer note here, Chris, when we do the show notes for the show, we need to make sure we get that list and add it to the blog about the show. Anyways, sorry. Just want to make sure we cleaned it up, because I think that's fascinating, and the people out there who listen to it recorded will probably find value in that, because that's something that I'm going to have to look at just to make sure my yard's safe, just because. So I think that's probably the most, well, I don't want to say the most important thing we can take away from tonight's show, but something that we all need to be more mindful of, because that's no joke. That's some serious stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that was his lesson to all pet parents. But there are many other lessons too that animals have shared with me from the other side, and some amazing stories.
Oh, I'm sure. Okay, so question though, you said it depends on the animal. I'm sure it depends on the breed and how they were. But is there one like overwhelming theme that you get from these animals besides love for their owner? Like being an animal, is there some? I guess I'm asking, do they carry a chip on their shoulder because they came back as an animal, not as a person?
No. No, I think they're quite happy as animals. Some of them have expressed what happened before they came into a better home. They've explained to me that, you know, they were in a very bad situation, and that they have appreciation for their pet parents rescuing them from those particular events and situations. So there's that. They also really don't want us to feel guilty for helping them cross over. That's one of the big messages that I get a lot, because most people feel guilty. I know I did. You know, we have four dogs on the other side, and we have had to help three of them cross over at their time. And you know, you always second guess yourself. You come back and say, "Oh my gosh, did I do it too early? Did I wait too long?" What they want us to know is that they really appreciate the strength that we find to help them cross over out of pain and out of discomfort. And I do want to say that if you're a pet parent, and I know this is, you know, COVID time, but if you're a pet parent, even if you think you don't have the courage to stand there when it's your dog or cat's time, find it. Just find it. Because the last one they want to see before they pass is you. They love you unconditionally. And I think some people have written to me and said that they didn't. They had to drop off their dog or cat and they couldn't. You need to find that strength. It's just for a couple of minutes. They've given you their entire life. And I think that we owe it to them. And if you're not strong enough, at least give them an article of your clothing so that your scent is on it, so that they can smell you around, as a way – that's a way to help your pet pass in a more calm manner. But anyway, they're very much appreciative when you recognize that it's their time.
Well, Rob, I appreciate you, and I appreciate you keep bugging me to get back on here, because that's the way it works. I should be better about it, but as you can imagine, when you do one show a week and you get a bunch of people bugging you, it's the one that bugs you. Well, you haven't bugged me in a while, so I don't know what clicked in my head the other day. So, but here you were, and I appreciate you. So,
well, thank you, Jim. It's good to come back, and you know, like I said,
thank you for listening.
There are a whole bunch more books that I'd like to talk about
and
share experiences with. I think that you might find some of them interesting. Paranormal Case Files, Inspired Ghost Tracking, and my journey to England. I hope that everybody listening realizes that your pets rely on you 100% of the time.
Okay, Rob.
Children.
I've got to cut you off, Rob.
So
I hate to do this.
Love them every day. Their lives are very short.
Thanks, Rob. Have a good night.
Okay. You can get your Thanks, Jim.
Coffee mug and other great products. That's promo code Mallard at checkout, duckpawnshop.com. Until next week, Stay safe and keep quacking.
Science, science, science! Hello, podcast fans. Want to get weird with us? Come check out the Mad Scientist Podcast. We are a weekly show that looks at the history, philosophy, and hard facts behind your biggest paranormal questions.
Did the government really pay for a psychic spy program?
Yes!
Is it true that surgery got its start in grave robbing?
Yes!
Can a roller coaster really kill you?
Legally, we can't say so for sure, but sometimes... Yes! Join myself, Chris Cogswell, and my co-host, Marie Mayhew, as we examine the science, philosophy, and history behind the strange and unusual. All to discover what's possible and plausible versus what's, well, just made up. Check us out wherever you find your favorite podcasts. The Mad Scientist Podcast.